Are you singing a delegation song based on Frère Jacques?
Oui, c'est ça que je le fais.
Ooh, you speak French.
Oui.
You do, don't you?
Oui.
Hey everybody, this is Gina Tremarco.
And Rachel Tipton.
And we are Women Your Mother Warned You About. Welcome to our podcast, the show that does what, Rachel?
Makes sales sexy again.
Makes sales sexy again and makes everything sexy. Let's just make life sexy.
Life can be very sexy, but it can also wear granny panties at times.
Yeah. You know what? This is a time, this is a season for me in granny panties. Not literally, but figuratively, because I'm in a different kind of granny panty at the recording of this episode. And it is, it's a granny panty on my hand, my right hand. You can't even speak, can you?
No, I don't even know how to move forward with that.
So this,
tell us what happened, Gina.
This episode is dedicated to my right hand, my right wrist. This episode is about what happens when you lose your right hand.
Because you got to do something.
Literally and figuratively, when you lose your right hand, especially if you're right-handed and you really can't function without your right hand.
We take it for granted how many things we do with our hands, don't we?
Yeah.
I bet you know that firsthand, Gina, you know, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, that was good, Rachel. You're just lucky I can't punch you right now.
Or backhand me.
Or back.
Zing!
You're just mean.
Sorry.
I am handicapped right now due to breaking my wrist, my right wrist, not one bone, two bones.
And all I can say, y'all, is when it happened, I hopped on Facebook and saw the photo and I was like, oh, Lord have mercy. Ouch. It looked gnarly.
Yeah, it still looks gnarly. I mean, it's black and blue. I mean, I think I should survive. But I mean, hey, I had major, I've come a far way. I mean, I was in a splint for a week, followed by surgery. I think this is day 5 post-surgery, I think, at the recording of this episode. And I've come a long way. I can do things like put mascara on, and that is huge. I mean, as a man, you probably don't get that. But as a woman,
not necessarily. Don't compartmentalize those men out there.
That's, I'm sorry. Okay, there are some men that wear mascara. That's, and we don't judge. That's cool. But putting on mascara, that was a big thing for me this morning.
Yeah, and I think we just take for granted so many things. Like, you can do an experiment and just tie your right hand behind your back for a few hours, like for an hour, and see how far you get. I'm sure, like, the video that I have of you trying to take your contacts out.
Oh my God.
We should probably post that under this episode.
I forgot about that video.
Oh my gosh. It's so funny.
Oh, and it's a little profane.
Well,
it is a little profane.
You were warned when you came onto this podcast.
It is. And was I on painkillers yet?
Probably.
Yeah. Yeah, that was bad. Oh, no. I didn't go in the surgery yet. Remember, because we had that photo shoot scheduled and I had to move it up because...
You were lucid. You were just
lucid.
Funny.
Yeah, I was funny and in pain and trying to hide my arm, hide the splint. Anyway.
Well, you've been a trooper. You have truly shown... you've walked the walk of what we talk about on this podcast, and that is resilience and just motoring through and refusing to give up even though you were down. You were like, I'm maybe down, but I'm not out.
Yeah.
And you've really... In fact, you've like double timed your productivity in some ways. So how have you been doing that, Gina?
Some people are not happy about that. I just looked at some emails where people are like, if you don't want to work with us anymore, that's okay. I'm like, why? Because I'm pushing on you to get things done. Like I'm in that attitude of like, I don't want to hear you can't get it done. I have one hand.
Worked for Steve Jobs.
I mean, I have one hand. What's your excuse today? Oh, you have a cold. I'm sorry. I have one hand. So... Some people are pretty irritated with me. So yeah, How do you get it done? And so while we're giggling about this, what gave me a lot of perspective of why this should be a topic of like literally when you lose your right hand, and I created a meme for it last week. When you lose your right hand, you have to put the left hand in the spotlight. Because how often, especially women, do we put ourselves in a situation where we try to do everything?
Guilty.
Right? You're trying
to have both hands.
Right. We try to do everything, whether it's physically with our hands or in our businesses. We try to do everything. We take on things that we shouldn't be doing, which actually affect our bottom line and generating more sales and making more money. And this has been an amazing experiment for me because I've had no choice but to call people in, various people from my various teams. I've called you in like, hey, can I dictate to you on things that we need to do for the podcast? And literally like let other people type up lists for me of what has to happen. And I've really become a project manager. I was like, oh, this is how I double my productivity. It's truly a delegation because there's so much I cannot do right now because of my hand that I have no choice but to delegate and to count on people and to put the heavy hand down.
And, you know, I think right now at this moment, and I tend to do this, I'm sure it's going to be valid at any time that you're listening to this podcast, I tend to take on too many things and I don't generally trust other people to do things as well as I think I can do them. And I think delegation is such a matter of trust, of trusting that someone else is competent. And even if they don't know how to do it exactly the way I want to be able to also communicate that and say, hey, thank you so much for doing this for me. Can we make this and that change? Instead of being like, why didn't you do that right?
Let's talk about trust for a second. Why is it a trust issue? Why can't we trust others to do things? Is it about them or is it about us? Is it our insecurity or is it about their competence or our perception of their competence?
For me, with my current situation of overwhelm, I put it all on myself because I know exactly how I want things done and I feel like I can do it faster. But faster isn't always better.
No.
And it's that extra pressure of trying to get everything done faster where mistakes happen too.
Yeah, sometimes you go so fast you slip on a floor and break your wrist.
Ouch. Right?
I mean not really, but maybe. I mean, why am I rushing around like a crazy person? Why did I rush around to an event? Did I really need to go to that event to be seen, be heard, be touching everything? Like, did I really need, like, it is, I mean, it's all hindsight, but the point is that I try to like do everything because I attach some sort of level of self-importance to it, that if I do everything, I'm going to be that much more powerful. And is that a fallacy? I mean, that's truly been my reflection over the past few weeks since this happened.
Definitely, Gina. I can see also from watching how quickly something like this can happen just out of the blue. And suddenly you're literally the possibility of being your business being paralyzed, you being nearly paralyzed with not literally paralyzed, but just crippled, and your business being crippled, that it is, that's one good reason to delegate so that everything doesn't shut down just because you have to take a break. And we don't think about it necessarily, or at least speak for myself. I don't think about it that way because I feel like everything's rolling along. But we think about it when something does happen and all of a sudden we're like, oh man, I wish I had put this system in place and that system in place. But then it's too late. It's like the saying, you don't fix the roof when it's sunny because it's not leaking.
Right. What if you would have, like, I don't know, inspected the roof? That's a whole nother story about black mold that I went through. Like,
oh, that is a whole nother,
you know,
story.
What if somebody would have known there was a leaking hot water tank? Well, we wouldn't have had, that's a whole nother story. But the point is like preventative and intentional pre-planning. So what if instead of waiting for an accident to happen or a crisis to happen, what if we put other plans in place and just did that and made other, not gave people things to do for us and put systems in place and let go of things that we feel we become comfortable doing and let other people do it. So when I think back at how much further ahead would I be? I mean, I'm actually, all things considered with what's going on with my hand, I am kicking some major ass right now for being down a hand because I've had to pull people in, ask for help, and be a little bit pushy.
Right. And the other thing, you know, I was just sitting here thinking about all of this. It can happen even in small businesses, larger businesses. If you take, for example, I have a friend of mine who has a company, and I was talking to this friend of mine about certain people in the company who are invaluable because no one else knows how to do their job. So
that's dangerous.
Then what happens if something happens to that employee and no one knows how to do her job, which involves income for the company? So what happens if she figuratively gets hit by a bus, you know, and what do you do for yourself or your company to be sure that at least if something happens to a key employee, do you have systems in place? Do you have procedures and policies and procedures written out for someone else to step in and take over, or at least have another employee or two backup who knows how to do those important jobs? And I think I've been in situations more than once where there's key people doing key jobs and there's not really anybody as backup. And so suddenly if they're down, then the whole company is paralyzed. And I think we're all moving forward so fast in today's world that sometimes we forget that until, boom, you fall and, mm-hmm. you know, you break your wrist and then you have to see it. You're forced to see it.
I think about companies that, I've seen this a lot in my career, whether it's a company or you own your own business, there's that difference in between marketing and sales, right? There's all this work that goes into marketing versus sales, which are two different things. And there are a lot of salespeople out there who will take on the marketing aspect for a couple of reasons. Either A, they're not really good salespeople, and they really want to be marketing people. And I've hired people who are like, can you put marketing director in my title? I'm like, all right, but you're doing sales. I'm like, if you want to be called marketing, that's fine, but you're selling, you know that, right? And that was early on. I learned, like, don't hire someone who wants to be a marketing person, not a salesperson, to do sales. So it's two different things. But a lot of times small companies will fall back on doing the marketing piece versus the sales piece. And then they get into, they're strapped. So they fall on doing that marketing piece of it versus going out, creating relationships, closing deals. I started to feel that pressure with my wrist because I'm like, I can't do all these marketing things that, I mean, we have a lot of things launching right now. Right? I mean, in our—
Don't you always, though?
Well, yeah, right. Yeah, you and I both. We always have something launching or happening. We have a lot of things launching between multiple websites and online sales courses. You have an app. Like, there are multiple things happening, and I always oversee the strategy and marketing of it. And I'm like, I can't do that right now because someone's got to keep money coming into the company, which is selling. So I have to be selling.
So for any of our listeners who are scratching their heads a little bit going, okay, so what would you say is the difference, the major difference between sales and marketing, Gina, aside from the obvious, like a salesperson is out there making the sale, but like break that down, like what's the difference?
Well, sale, I mean, if we made it super simple, sales is money in the bank. Sales is someone's giving you a check or making or putting down their credit card.
Woo, woo!
Sales is cash flow.
Right.
Right. That is like closing the deal.
Marketing is a little bit more like awareness and leading to the sale, right?
Marketing leads to the sale. Marketing is the support system. Marketing puts the word out there. So, you know, putting a Facebook ad is not sales. That's, you could post a Facebook. Again, that's what irritates me too. A lot of people think that, well, I've done all these marketing things. Anytime I've wanted to launch anything, my concern has been, will I have ample time to like actually sell it? And so many people rely now on like all this online marketing component of it. There's a lot of introverted people that rely on online marketing because they don't want to get on the phone and have a sales conversation. And I'm literally like, hey, I broke my wrist, and I'm like calling up all kinds of prospects. I'm like, hey, let's close this. What's going on? And I mean,
well, it's that's interesting because it's a constraint. There was a book that you gave all your coaching clients a few years ago called A Beautiful Constraint. I can't recall the author right now, but it goes into what the benefits of sometimes having a constraint. So what I'm hearing is you actually, because you aren't able to, let's call it, hide behind the written word of email because you can't use your hand, you've been on the phone more, and that's actually so much better of a way to connect with people. And just all hide behind texting and emails because it's so much easier and we don't really want to have a conversation sometimes.
Yeah, well, it goes back to like we try to do so much and we try to go so fast, right? So like, okay, if I send out a whole bunch of emails, right, it's like throwing out a big net, and I can do that. And I that is part of my approach, but it really became so obvious to me with my wrist because I think today is the first day I've been able to type 5 days after surgery, and I was in a splint for a week. So 12 days of not being able to really type, and I have to do everything with my left hand on my phone, and then I get frustrated and I stop. So literally I started telling people, don't email me, don't text me, don't Facebook me, call me. Call me. We will talk. Come to my house. We will talk. Like, everything has been about a conversation. And the irony is that conversation strategy has doubled or tripled my productivity.
Interesting. So you think you throw a big net and you get a bunch of guppies, and really what you want is one or two really nice big fish.
I want a whale.
There you go.
I want a couple whales.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm sorry. I just had a flashback of like when I was in the hospital, I was in the emergency room. The pediatric emergency room in our area is called Whale Bay. Like what? Like the fish, Whale Bay. And I don't know why, but they kept referring to Whale Bay. And then I'm on a tangent here, but I have to share it. Because this is what we do. This is what our show is about. They took me to x-ray. I come back into the pediatric emergency room.
No, wait. Why were you in the pediatric emergency room?
Don't know. So they wheel me back in and I see the sign Whale Bay. And I start laughing, and the girl wheeling me in the wheelchair, she's like, what? I go, I thought it was Whale Bay, W-A-I-L, for all the screaming going on. Yeah, because I was in an emergency room filled with screaming children. My favorite place to be.
Okay, I'm trying to work this out of how you ended up there.
Is it
because of your childlike demeanor?
I don't know.
Sell like a child? Did that end you up there?
Yeah, it was my maybe it was research for sell like a child.
Which is a whole other episode.
Which is a training that we do.
Yeah, to be more it's amazing.
I mean, I did. And then because I kind of felt bad. I didn't want to cry because there were children in there crying. And I feel like I don't want to be the adult in a bed crying and like make them cry more.
I wish we had a video of this.
Oh my God. It was hysterical. But I think they actually put me in Whale Bay because they had to fast track me. Don't laugh. They had to fast track me for pain. And so I guess you get better care in pediatric ER, which I 100% agree with. I'm going to next time request it because
I can request to be in the pediatric ward.
I'm going to. I'm going to ask for it because I hate to say I've been in the ER a few times in my life here in this community. And it's Whale Bay all the way.
See, there's some takeaways, people. You can request to be in the pediatric ward.
I don't know if you can request, but I'm going to. Say you're in a lot of pain. Say you broke your wrist and they'll send you to pediatric. Anyway, we digress.
Big time.
I don't even know where we were. But my reflection has been that you have to let other people shine and take over too, because people want to shine and take over. People like the opportunity to do things. There's so many people that would love to be doing the marketing thing. Give it to someone else, especially if you're a small business owner and you're like, CEO seller. You're the owner and the salesperson and that you're everything in the company. You have to delegate it. You will make more money from it as a result of it.
So a couple of tips on figuring out what to delegate and how to delegate. I think the number one would be if you hate to do it. Like if you hate to do it, then think about delegating that. And also if it's something that's taking up your time and you're doing it more than one time, like that kind of stuff, I think you can delegate too. And I know I run into things that I do over and over and I need to delegate them. I just need to delegate them.
Yeah.
Uploading photos on the MLS. Need to delegate. It's a waste of my time.
Designing things on...
It's not the highest and best use of my time.
Designing things on Canva. Delegate. Not the best use of my time. Why am I doing that?
Totally.
Why? Because I'm like, nobody can do it like me.
Right. Yeah. And that's what I'm saying about trust is like, just trust for somebody to do it and maybe they'll do it better than you. There's that. I'm pretty certain that there's people out there that can use Canva better than me.
Oh, yeah. We just have to find them.
Yep.
So.
Is it you? Is it you?
Anybody out there that does Canva very well? Call us.
We have a lot of work for you.
We have work for you. I mean, through this process, because Spontaneous Selling 1.0, one of our online sales training courses, like, thank goodness. I mean, I delegated this before I fell. I was like going to like do my own video on Zoom. Stupid. Because I'm like, I'll look at the webcam and I'll shoot all these videos myself of me talking to the camera. And then someone saw that I was writing video scripts because I posted it on Facebook. Because I post everything on Facebook. So you know what I'm doing in case you're dying to know. And someone said, what are you writing these scripts for? Do you need someone to videotape them? And I was like, you know what? Yes. Yes, I do need someone to videotape them. And then the guy got the job instantly. I'm like, yeah, can you come Monday?
Nice.
And he shot all the videos. I fell 3 days later. Thank God. But the videos were already shot. But then I had to delegate the rest of it out. I'm like, someone needs to do the graphics. Someone needs to do this. Someone needs to do that. Did things come back perfect? No. Did they get done? Yes. And I had all that recovery time, which could have been selling time.
Right. Done is better than perfect is a phrase I just love. But even though I love saying it, sometimes on my own time, I will get caught up in perfect is what needs to be done. And that's just it causes me too much stress, but I still do it, you know, admittedly.
Here's the thing with perfect. Nobody's perfect. And I'm a believer in nobody really likes perfect people. And if you're someone who judges, and I've heard this before, like, you have a typo on this or you have a typo on that. I'm like, I'm so happy you have time to notice those typos. Would you like a job fixing that for me? Like, I'm not perfect. We know I'm not great with detail. Personality profile testing has shown that. I'm
big picture.
I'm a big picture person. I know I'm not good with details. Even more reason why I need to delegate so that other people can get in trouble for the details.
Who are they getting in trouble with?
I don't know. But then I can't be judged for getting things wrong detail-wise. You can bash my vision all you want. But the point is delegating those things that are not, I'm not the best at. I'm not good at. I'm not the best at Canva. I'm not a video person. I'm not any of those things. And all this stuff like totally overwhelms me, holds me back. Someone recently asked me, actually someone on our online selling course team, she said, what's held you back so long in getting it done? I was like, it just seems so overwhelming to do it all. Okay. Do you hear yourself? It's so overwhelming to do it all. Then don't do it all.
Right.
But then people fall into the scarcity mindset of like, well, I don't have the money to pay for it. This recently came up with someone who did not hire someone to do video for her. And she wanted like a her keynote videotaped, and it became a money issue. And I know she listens to this, so I'm sorry, but I've already said this to you, so you know that. She didn't hire someone to videotape her. She had an intern do it with a phone. I mean, everything came out shitty.
Mm-hmm.
And then she didn't have good video. Then it's like, okay, for the few hundred dollars it would have cost, maybe that would have gotten you another speaking gig.
Right.
So now you've lost out on that. So you have to get past that scarcity mindset and not worry about how am I going to pay for things.
Right. And operate in, you and I are the queens of this, of committing to things and not knowing where the money's going to come from.
Oh,
and
hell yeah.
And what's interesting, though, is Gina and I are both very big believers in the universe providing. And if you haven't read The Secret, then just stop everything that you're doing. Pause this podcast and go and buy it and read it, because the universe will bring you what you ask for. If you continue to ask, if you continue to speak scarcity into your life, then that's exactly what you'll continue to get. But Gina and I will set these huge goals and be like, okay, that's $5,000. All right, I need $5,000. Let's see where we can, where the universe will provide $5,000. And honestly, I can't think of a situation in my past of something that I committed to where I wasn't sure where the money came would come from that it didn't show up. Like, there's been times where I changed my mind about things, but I definitely, I can't think of anything offhand that I would say, man, I missed that opportunity because I just never found the money for it. Nope. I just committed to stuff and then the money showed up, or I figured out a way to make the money. Yeah. Or it's just you guys, truly, all you Warners out there, if you don't take anything out of this podcast, then take that just believe that the money will show up, and it always does. It's crazy.
I know. Always. It's same with sales.
And also the person that you need will show up. That's why I keep speaking to the universe that a driver is going to show up and drive me around. I say it to everyone who will listen. So if you'd like to be a driver, I need a driver. But, you know, speak into the universe what it is that you want. Speak into the universe what it is that you need, and exactly, like, what is that person going to do for you? What exactly is that task that you need taken off your plate? And I promise you that person will show up.
Oh, my gosh. That has been 1,000% of what I've been dealing with. You know, you talk about a driver. I mean, I've been having drivers for 12 days.
Wait a minute. I've been your driver. Where's my driver, universe? I still need a driver. Maybe it wasn't specific. I meant I need a driver, not I need to be a driver.
You know, I've had so much abundance through this crazy process of people showing up. And so here's the interesting thing. It's not just speaking out what you want, right? It's people want to help. People want to be useful. People want to contribute. And I have been so fortunate and so grateful and so humble. Oh gosh, I hope this is not an episode where I cry. Of how people have stepped forward to want to do things for me and not let me pay them, which makes me uncomfortable because I'm like, oh, that's bad karma. But people have stepped forward with like, I want to do this for you because I want to be part of what you're doing. I want to do this for you because you've done these things for me. I want to do this for you because I believe in what you stand for. Like, that has been the most amazing gift, that if you show up right and honest and transparent and with integrity and doing good things, people want to help you. People want to be part of the journey. So let them help you. And you literally have to sit back and go, who can I give this to? And that's literally what I've been doing now for a couple of weeks, of like, where I like literally something will come to me. I'm like, oh, you know who would be really good at that? This person loves writing. I'm like, this person should do all our blog content for Caroline Improv. Perfect. Do you want to do it? She's like, yeah, that sounds like fun. Right.
And then she's honored by the opportunity.
Yeah. And I'm like, oh my gosh, something I should have done a year ago all of a sudden magically is happening. Like, imagine if I would have been in this broken wrist mindset a long time ago. Now, I'm not recommending you go break your wrist.
No, it's super painful looking.
But can you be in the mindset of, what if I didn't have my right hand? What would I do?
Great thought provoking moment.
So thought provoking. You're like, I don't even know what to say.
It's true. I'm just thinking about maybe this episode is to force me into the broken wrist mindset, let's call it, because I am in a state of overwhelm and I need some help with what I have on my plate right now. And I actually have, I just got a text a few minutes ago from a business partner who's, he's like, you're killing it, you're crushing it, please let me know what I can do to help you. And
let him know.
Exactly. And I have to figure out what that is, you know, because I'm still in that, I'm in that, that place where you mentioned a few minutes ago of, I'm so overwhelmed because there's so much to do.
And but you can't seem to get out of that overwhelmed box.
Yeah. And so I just need to sit down and write down everything that needs done, so to speak, and then figure out how I can delegate.
So here's my tip on that. And social media is a wonderful world. I use it probably more than some people like, but I will put it out on Facebook saying, I need this. And people always answer it, or I need a recommendation for that. And somebody always steps forward. So when this happened, and usually when something, you know, happens to someone's health, you know, people be like, let me know if you need anything. Every person who said, let me know if you need anything, got a phone call. Because that is something I call buying cue. And if you didn't mean it, too bad. Now you got it. Don't say, let me know if you need anything, because I will let you know that I need something.
Right.
So every person who raised their hand, because I couldn't, I literally said, okay, because it's also honoring them. People want to do things. So I'm like, okay, what can that person do? And it forced me to sit down and like evaluate their skill sets, what they brought to the table, what they liked doing. That's always been my thing of how to build a good team. And part of building a good team is knowing what they really love to do, knowing what they want to maybe get on their resume or get as experience. And then think about that and then give them that project to do. Mm-hmm. With the expectation it won't be perfect.
Right. And let's take it down to a primal level. Like humans are... We have a herd mentality. We have a tribe mentality. Mm-hmm. Like, as much as capitalism teaches us to be independent and do it all ourselves in a way, humans, we are meant to help one another. We're meant to step forward in our greatest talents and use them to the benefit of the tribe as a whole. And when, like you said, you're figuring out, I need this, let's call this person who excels at that particular task. Or let's just put the call out and see who steps forward and is able to utilize those talents. Because people do. It's inherent in our human nature that we do want to help. And plus, helping someone else makes us feel good. So there's that whole, you know, science there.
It's that when we make other people look good and we feel good. I don't know if you remember this. I did this a couple years ago with some clients in our coaching program. It was like an abundance project of kind of you literally are going on a treasure hunt in your home, and it's looking for everything of some sort of monetary value in your house, from the coins in your couch to gift cards in a drawer to whatever. Like, and you do this hunt through your house, and like, how much money were you able to gather? Like, you have things at your disposal. You have money, you have things of value at your disposal that you can leverage to get to the next place, but they might be out of sight. So therefore they're out of mind. So you literally have to go take an inventory of what you have at your disposal that's of value that can elevate you. Just a little exercise.
Yeah, makes me want to go look under the car seat and in the couch seat.
Serious.
I think I'm scanning back through my brain. I think I did that once.
Yeah.
And you'd be amazed at how much money you can find. Just like emptying out all of the pockets of every purse, you know, who has, we all have the purse graveyard, right?
Yeah.
Pockets of all your coats.
Yeah.
Like I found $20 in my coat pocket the other day. I was like, word.
Yeah.
You just never know, but also in the people around you. You know?
Exactly. So take inventory of the people around you that can be helping you. And pulling this back into selling and sales, are you leveraging your network? Are you leveraging your connections? Do you realize the value you have at your disposal of people that can connect you with the right people, or people you've overlooked that you haven't called in a while, people that are or previous clients that you haven't checked in with. And are you leveraging people around you to take work on that you shouldn't be doing that would free you up to actually create cash flow? Mm-hmm.
I can think of several items right now.
Everybody take inventory. This is my advice, Rachel, is everyone go take inventory. Do the treasure hunt in your house or your office or your car. See how much money you can find, but also take inventory of the people capital that can get you to the next place or help you buy the things that you need. That's my tip for when you lose your right hand.
And ask for help. That's a big takeaway. Ask for help.
Ask for help.
It's as simple as that.
It's so easy.
Sometimes you might not even know what you need help with.
Well, that's just it. You don't know. So every time someone says, what can I help you with? In the past, I used to say, oh, I'm good. Now I'm like, well, hold on. I'll come up with something. That's now my new response is, I will come up with something for you to do. Trust me. I will come up with something. But you have to be willing to ask for help and be willing to realize that you may not even know what you need help for. So you have to sit down and like evaluate that and reflect on that. And when you're sitting on a couch for several days because you're in so much pain, all you are capable of doing is thinking, strategizing, and talking. Which I'm sure people are like,
will you stop strategizing?
One of our vendors is like, I've gotten like 30 emails from you today. I'm like, yeah, because my right hand's working. I'm dangerous with two hands. Enjoy me with one hand or not. You might get more to do since I only have one hand. So those are my tips for what to do when you lose your right hand. Put your left hand in the spotlight. And the thing is, you have so many left hands available and you have other right hands. So there's a lot of hands out there. Use the more hands, the better.
Yep. And if you lose, I'm thinking through of like, if you lose your right hand, you might find the right hand that you never even knew you needed.
Right. Exactly. Brilliant. That's awesome. All right. I think it's time to wrap up this show. Do you have any other wise tips that you want to? You want
to
add?
Well,
in?
I got to hand it to you, Gina. That was a really great handful of tips that you handed to our listeners today.
I like to be handy.
You sure are.
Oh, my gosh. It is time for us to wrap up this episode of Women Your Mother Warns You About. Rachel, anything else that you need our listeners to know? And just a reminder, where can they find you?
You can find me all over social media. Find me Rachel Tipton or Rachel on Real Estate. And you can always go check out theclosingcurve.com for information on selling and buying.
Awesome. And you can reach me at GinaTremarco.com. You can find all my social media connections there. And of course, Women Your I'm going to leave that gibberish in there. It's a mouthful. WomenYourMotherWarnsYouAbout.com. Go to our website. You can find our social media links there. We are all over the social media. And please subscribe to iTunes, Overcast, Stitcher, wherever you can find a podcast. Go find us and subscribe, download, listen, review, all of the above. Share, tell people to listen to us. And definitely send us, message us. Like, what do you want us to talk about? What should we be talking about? Are there some guests that you would like to hear? And shout out to the Seller Die Network. We love being part of it. We got to go.
Yeah. See ya.
Bye, Rachel.
Bye, Gina.
Bye, Warners.
This really will get serious soon.
Yeah. It doesn't have to. I don't think anybody wants it to be serious.
This has been a presentation of the Sell or Die Network. For more podcasts that you can take out into the street and turn into money, visit SellorDieNetwork.com.